Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to study a word in the Bible that appears in a few passages and is very important. The word is affection. So today we're going to study affections. Affection is defined as a moderate feeling or emotion, a kind feeling, a tender attachment. Love. So today what we're going to do is we're going to study the various affections mentioned in the Bible to help us understand where our affections ought to be and where they ought not to be. And what we'll do is we'll start with the natural affections and work into the spiritual affections. And so the first affections we're going to look at today are called in the Bible natural affections. And both times that you see the reference we're going to look at, you're going to see that actually the word is used or the phrase is used in a negative connotation. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 31. Romans chapter 1, verse 31. We're in the list here of men and women who are filled with all unrighteousness, beginning in verse 29, and we see in verse 31 that they are without understanding, covenant breakers, watch it, without natural affection. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, we also find this statement or this reference to natural affections or natural affection. And this is in the context of the description of people during the last days, in the perilous times. And 2 Timothy 3:3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers and so forth. So both of these references are in the negative. That is, the Bible describes people who are without natural affection. Now, what is natural affection, or what are natural affections? Natural affections are affections of things like this: parents for their children. Naturally, parents naturally have an affection for their children. There's a natural affection of children for their parents. There's a natural affection of children, for instance, for puppies. I mean, you know, they may, in an exception, have a bad experience where they get bit and then they're scared of the little dogs. But for the most part, if you see a child and you see a puppy, well, they just light up. We'll walk in our neighborhood and sometimes we'll be walking our dog or one of our children's dogs, and there'll be a child in a stroller or in a wagon being pushed or pulled by one of her or his parents, and they'll wave, look at the little doggy, you know, that kind of stuff. You know how it goes. It's just natural. There's a natural affection of citizens for their country unless something bad happens. And those kind of things, those are natural affections. And they're perfectly natural. I mean, that's what you would expect even in this corrupt world. It doesn't take anything special to elicit these affections. They're just there. However, in these perilous times and in cases where sin has really dominated in the life of an individual, you know what we see? We see a generation of people without natural affection. Mothers kill their babies legally and willingly. What's the number now? 55, 56 million? Some crazy, outrageous number. And even after they're born, you hear about domestic violence and terrible things that parents are doing to their children. Just unthinkable stuff. You know, it's really funny. Back in the day when nobody said anything about you spanking your children. It was perfectly legitimate. The ACLU had no stand against it. It was way back there in the days, like when we were growing up. You know what? Children never did this kind of thing that's happening to, I mean, parents never did this kind of thing that's happening to children today. Now they say you can't lay a hand on them, and they're breaking their bones and busting their heads, and they're ending up in the hospital with concussions. It's absolutely insane. You know what that is? That's that lack of natural affection. Not only is it coming from the parents to the children, it's coming from the children to the parents. Children hate and disobey their parents. And it's epidemic. You read in Proverbs indications of the kinds of things that children do when they hate and disobey their parents. We've got that going on. Satanic influences convince young people to torture and sacrifice cats and other animals in a very strange, demonic way. Many of the citizens and leaders in our country today detest our country, do things purposely to destroy and tear up this country. These mob things that are going on these days, I realize that there are, in people's minds, legitimate reasons for what they're doing. But listen, man, that's just unnatural. These are not natural affections. The people have been stirred up to this. Sin runs rampant. Perilous times are upon us. But that's natural affections. And so it's common, and it should be, for parents to love their children to love their parents, and children to love little animals, and citizens to love their country. Those are the natural things. Nothing wrong with that at all. Ought to be that way. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's messed up today in many respects. All right, now let's talk another type of affection. These are fleshly affections. These now, we're beginning to get into some things that are problematic. Natural affections, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Ought to be there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, right in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, we read this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now notice, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we have fleshly affections. These are lusts. Now you'll hear people talk about their lusts, and they'll use the word love. Like, for instance, a person will say, I love a good steak. Or a person will say, I love coffee. Or a person will say, I love chocolate. Or I love to hunt. Or I love to fish. Or I love to golf. Or whatever the case may be. The idea is that they have a fleshly affection or a fleshly appetite or a fleshly lust for these things. Now, when we get saved, we are to crucify our flesh and therefore crucify our fleshly affections and our fleshly lusts, since these are carnal and we no longer walk in the flesh. When we get saved, we're to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So through crucifying these fleshly affections, men and women are able to stop things that they were doing before that they used to love to do, that they know that they shouldn't do and really can't do and don't want to do now. For instance, by crucifying the fleshly affections, men stop fornicating or stop drinking or stop doping or stop smoking or stop cussing or stop overeating or whatever the sins may be, which were things that they loved to do before they got saved. But after they got saved, they realized, hey, I'm supposed to keep this body in subjection. And they start looking at the Bible and they start seeing that, hey, this drinking's wrong, this fornicating's wrong, this doping is wrong, this smoking is wrong. And once they see that, they repent, and then the flesh is crucified with Christ. And at that point, there is the opportunity for the Spirit of God to dominate and rule over the sin in the life, because you have yielded to righteousness rather than to sin. Now, if you don't crucify these fleshly affections, you're going to be a carnal Christian at best, and you're going to still be in bondage to sin. It's not that we have arrived at sinless perfection by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that we're not in bondage to that stuff. Sin doesn't have the rule anymore. because the fleshly affections have been crucified. We crucified them when we got saved, or supposed to. All right, so fleshly affections also have another aspect that we need to discuss briefly before we move on to the next affections. You'll see fleshly affections really today, dominating today. You'll see fleshly affections driving a wedge between children and their parents, and driving a wedge between children and their churches. And these fleshly affections are best described as infatuation, kind of a foolish love for something. To some teenage girl, for instance, becomes infatuated with a young boy, and her feelings are mistaken for love. So she becomes sexually involved with him, and these feelings that she now has, these fleshly affections, surpass her natural affections and her spiritual affections. And this infatuation, these fleshly affections, surpass natural affections for her family, spiritual affections for the Lord, to such a degree that she is willing to quit her church and leave her family because of these fleshly affections. And that's where, I'll tell you what, we see this to a great degree today. I remember I called 6 different pastors and asked them, why is it that young people bail out on church, bail out on God when they get into their teenage years? And they don't all do it, of course, but a number of them do. And one of the preachers, they all had some fabulous things to say, but one of the preachers said, I'll tell you why. It's infatuation, and they mistake that infatuation for a natural affection or for a spiritual affection. And it is by far much greater at that age than any affection they've ever felt before. And I mean, he says they just run for that. They'll quit the church. They'll leave their family. And I've watched it happen time and time again. And it's the most discouraging and detestable thing you've ever seen. I understand it. The trouble is, those children never developed much of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and never certainly got to the place where when they were Christ, they crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, and they're in this mess. It's tragic. Fleshly affections. All right, we're going to turn to Colossians now. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And we're going to see another affection. These affections are called inordinate affections. All right? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, watch it, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Inordinate means excessive. In other words, inordinate, like somebody will say, he's spending an inordinate amount of time on that project. He should have already finished it hours ago. So we use that word. You're familiar with it in that context. Excessive, inordinate means exceeding the ordinary, reasonable, prescribed limits in amount, in quantity, in force, in intensity, or in scope. So let's apply it to something in our lives. It's natural, for instance, to have affection for your spouse. That's a natural affection. However, inordinate affection is excessive. It's unreasonable. So how do you apply it to marriage? Well, a good example here is the marital bed. A good friend of ours has counseled married couples for over 3 decades. In other words, he has a tremendous amount of experience. And you know what he said? He said, one of the biggest problems with the marriage bed is that Christians have learned about sex from the world, and they've brought their worldly ideas into their homes. In other words, they haven't followed the biblical pattern, they haven't followed the spiritual pattern in their marriage. Rather, what they've done, they've allowed perversion and therefore inordinate affections to replace biblical affections. In other words, when the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that the marriage bed is undefiled, that doesn't mean you can bring any perversion into the marriage bed, and because you're married, it's undefiled, or because you're saved, it's undefiled. It doesn't mean that at all. It means what it says. It's undefiled in that it's sanctified by the Lord. But the Bible goes into pretty good detail, if you'll read it, about the proper patterns and proper spiritual patterns for the marriage bed. And so here's the problem in a lot of marriages. I mean, Christian marriages, the divorce rate in Christian marriages is almost as high as the divorce rate in non-Christian marriages. And there should be a natural affection for the spouse, but what's happened is they've messed up, and a lot of times the mess up is in the bedroom. Why? Because they're trying to fulfill certain worldly imaginations. They're trying to fulfill certain worldly expectations. They're trying to fulfill certain worldly perversions that don't belong in their marriage. And that's where the problem is. And so you've got to be careful with that. Inordinate affections. That's just one example. There are a number. Anything that's done to the excess, that's exceeding the ordinary, reasonable, prescribed limits in amount, quantity, force, intensity, or scope. That's where it gets messed up. And there are all kinds. I'm just dealing with that because it's something you can apply in your own life. But there are a number of other expressions of this and forms of this. And the Lord says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth. Stop those things. That fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All right, here's the next one. These are vile affections, vile affections. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1 for this one. Romans chapter 1. I don't want to spend so much time on these bad affections, but, you know, we need to understand them. Because we got a couple of spiritual affections we want to deal with as well. But let's look at this real quickly. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Romans 1, 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Vile affections are the result, in Romans chapter 1, of a progressive turning away from God. Beginning with Romans chapter 1, verse 21, you can see the degeneration of affections throughout the rest of the chapter. And we're going to give you a little outline for these. First of all, they disparage God. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They disparage God. So they devalue him or lower him. You know, they don't glorify him. And that's a real, real, real common problem in church and in the world today. Secondly, they disregard God, Romans chapter 1, verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They just disregard him. They're not thankful for the fact that God sends the rain, God gives you breath, God gives you food, God gives you health, and all these other things. Thirdly, they disprove God, Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, this disproving they do in their own minds, but they use things like evolution, and they use things like probability and other arguments, worldly philosophies, just to say, well, God doesn't exist. He's simply a religious concept. So in their minds, they disprove God. Then, naturally, they debase God, Romans chapter 1, verse 23. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like up to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's evolution. In other words, they change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image. So they start by disparaging God, then disregarding God, then disproving God, then debasing God, and then they distort the truth of God in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I've traveled around many places in the world and seen many false religions that take these images and worship and serve the creature. You go to India, there's 3 million Hindu gods there. It's just crazy. So they distort the truth of God. And then they deny God in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So they just they deny him. He's not there. He's a figment of your imagination. I had a child tell me one day, a fellow grew up in church, and he said, Jesus Christ is no more real than Santa Claus. He's a fairy tale. That's denying God. He didn't want to retain God in his knowledge. Now, from here, they just keep spiraling down. Next, they despise God, Romans chapter 1, verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful. And then after they despise God, they defy God, Romans 1, 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And you're seeing it in this country today. They defy God. Well, when you read down this progressive turning away from God, by the time they distort the truth of God in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, you know what God does? God gives them up unto vile affections. That's where they come from. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. And most commonly, those vile affections are seen in homosexuality. So you've got a world right now that wants to, or a nation now that wants to approve same-sex marriage. You know what you have? You have a world that's turned its back on God. Disparaged God, disregarded God, disproved God. Now evolution is taught in the school, not creation. Debased God, distorted the truth of God. We've got all these modern Bibles. Deny God, call him like, the God delusion. And then despise God, and now defying God openly. We're going to go in and practice all this. We know what you did in Sodom and Gomorrah, but we don't think you're going to do it in the United States. I'll tell you what, by the time they deny God, he gives them over to a reprobate mind. Now, those are three negative affections, but we got a couple of good affections, and I want to cover those with you as well. The first one of those is brotherly affections. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In 2 Corinthians 7:15, that's called the inward affection. And Paul, for instance, for the Thessalonians, had great affection in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. I'm just showing you three occurrences of this word so you can see them. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because you were dear unto us. It really describes the level of that affection, that brotherly love. Now, these are the affections that Christians have for each other. These affections come forth from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, and from the fact that we have been baptized by the Spirit of God into the same body. We're in the same body with each other. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In other words, that's not something it's not a natural affection. You don't have brotherly love for the people in your church by natural affection. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Our love for each other is a testimony to and an outgrowth of God's love for us and our love for God. That's what 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 to 21 are all about. We love God because he first loved us, and once we start loving God, you know what? We love his children. Now, in carnal churches, and there are many of those today, in carnal churches, you're going to find a natural and fleshly affection instead of brotherly affection. And you're going to find an emphasis on the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, over the first commandment, which is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But brotherly affections, that's something that the Holy Spirit puts in us. We love each other when we find that we're in the same body and we have been saved by the same Lord Jesus Christ. There is a commonality there that is superior to any other kind of love on earth. And then finally, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, there are heavenly affections. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. These are affections that we have for things that are up there. Our deepest and most abiding affection should be for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Lord God. We should also have great affection for the words of God. And truly, when our love is for the Lord and our hearts are inclined then to pray to Him because we love Him, to fellowship with Him because we love Him, to tell others about Him because we love Him, and to give to Him. David demonstrated his affection for the house of God in 1 Chronicles 29:3, gave abundantly of his wealth to the house of God because he loved God and he loved the house of God. And I'll tell you what, when our affections are principally for the Lord, you know what happens? We find that our fleshly affections diminish. I mean, seriously, a person who's not saved, he can have natural affections for his family. He can have natural affections for his religion, for his church, for his friends, and his work. But he may be inclined to believe that because he has these affections for his family, for his religion, for his church, that he's in good standing with God. But that's not the case. Until he is saved, he can never have the spiritual affections of brotherly love and godly love. So don't base your faith on how you feel towards your church or how you feel towards your religion or how you feel towards your fellow man. You've got to base your faith on what God said. And when you believe what God said in the Scripture and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then and only then are you born again. And at that point, then God can put in your heart a love for Him. And God can put in your heart a love for His children. And God can put in your heart a love for His things, His words, His heaven, you know, His New Jerusalem, His people. And what you're going to find is the more that you love these things, that is, God, the Bible, His brethren, the less you're going to love vile, inordinate, and fleshly affections. I pray today that you're born again. I pray that your love for the Lord God grows and your love for fleshly things diminishes. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.